Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend. Looks like we're actually about to get some rain down here in Florida either today or tomorrow, which will be very nice because it's quite dry down here. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, good, Austin. I'm blessed. We've basically been in a drought since September. And, I mean, yeah. You know, the lakes are down 3 and 4 feet. A lot of lakes are pretty much dried up, you know, the shallower ones. I mean, so it's a big mess. And so, yeah, the chemtrails haven't stopped, so I don't think we're going to have any rain until they decide to let it rain. But, I mean, that's how that works. Hope everybody had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. But I want to kind of start talking about May the 1st because this is a big occult holiday. And the reason I'm telling you all this, guys, is you need to be aware of what goes on. This morning I got an email from Doug. Doug Hagman, and he was talking about how he had met with Rush Dizdar and how he had seen law enforcement files with Rush Dizdar, over 100 of them, of satanic ritual abuse just in that area where they live in. And so he was pretty down about that, and I kind of went over with him. I said, well, you can't allow yourself to be like that because this stuff has been going on since the Druids. The Druids, well, before that too, all the way back to the fallen angels, all the way back to Egypt, to the angels, to Genesis chapter 6. And I told Doug that they had transformed the planet once before using their pyramids and their energy fields and their sacrifice, and they want that back. These guys want that field back. It took them thousands and thousands of years to put it together. God pulled it apart with the flood and with the separation of the continents, changing the magnetic ley lines, and they want that energy field back, and they're willing to do that now with all of the stuff they're doing along with the transhumanism and to tie us into their matrix again like they had done before when every thought of every man was evil all of the time. So the reason I want to cover this, because I want to talk about May the 1st, it's basically called Beltane. It's the festival of Mother Earth Isis is what this is. And it's another big giant occult ceremony today. It's one of the big sacrifice days for these weirdos. And it's kind of interesting. April the 30th of the following day, May the 1st, are two of the most important occult periods in the calendar year. This is a time of the year when Baal was killed and sent into the underworld to be resurrected by his lover, sister, Inat. It's also the day that Adam Weishaupt started the Illuminati in 1776, and 110 years after the Sabbatean cult was formed by the satanic power players in 1666. These dates are intimately associated with the astrotheology and the evolution of consciousness as told through symbolic archetypes. So this all ties together with the occult meaning of the winter solstice, with Christmas, the alchemy of the Roman solstice practices, occult symbolism, Santa Claus, reincarnation, while the Cabal, Illuminati, or powers that should not be honored these days of significance, they're basically completing all this evil stuff on this day and doing all of this stuff. So I'm not going to read you all this stuff because I'm not going to give a lot of this credence to this kind of stuff, but I just want you guys to know that what this is, it's a giant occult festival, and the Maypole, if you're going to any of those festivals, represents a giant phallic symbol. So in case you're concerned about that and dancing around the maypole, it all deals with fertility rituals, and it needs to be avoided. And if your children are going to any of these things, they need to not be taken to these types of things because it just brings in more of a satanic world that we live in, and it brings this stuff into their minds, and they really need to avoid it. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of that stuff, and we talked about that before, specifically with the Halloween, you know, at the end of the year, parents go out and do all the stuff with their kids, and they have these Halloween parties, and there's nothing wrong with having stuff at church and stuff like that, but really given a lot of, you know, acceptance to that whole entire pagan holiday is the main issue that I have with it. So it's better just to not really get involved in a lot of that. But this is just crazy now. I've seen this over the last week, and I've been kind of done a little bit more research to see what's really going on with it. But over the last couple days and weeks, we're starting to see a really troubling development in the U.S. home price trends again. A new bubble is appearing to be merging in all the usual suspect places. Home prices in markets that bubbled over back in 2006, 2007, like Las Vegas and San Francisco, they got cut in half in 2009. Well, they have now officially doubled again of their all-time lows. Markets like Denver and Dallas, who didn't see much of the 2007 mania, are actually now surging to all-time highs as well. The Wall Street Journal added that some of the home building behaviors of the consumers, like paying prices well above appraisal values, waiving home inspections, are now starting to become commonplace again as they were in 2006. In some markets, bidding wars are breaking out. Agents said some buyers are adding in extra cash when property appraising doesn't even ask for that price. There's an article here that said that basically, for a practical example of just how crazy it truly is, there's a renovated two-bedroom, 1,900-square-foot house built in 1951 in Eagle Rock, Los Angeles, which was listed in March, mid-March, like 4 or 5 weeks ago, for $699, $700,000 for a 1,900-square-foot house, was estimated by Redfin to be $780,000 with a new appraisal, just sold last week for $980,000, which was 40% over asking price just over a month after it was first listed. They had a multiple-person bidding war. This is starting to happen all over the place out west, and is, again, as I said a minute ago, it's starting to push into Texas, and also Denver, which did not see near as bad of a housing bubble as did the West Coast. So it seems to be that the Federal Reserve's massive printing of money and buying up the stock market and what they've done and pushing the stock market over 20,000 has started to actually be effective from a globalist standpoint, and we see another housing bubble trend starting all over again as we did in 2005, 2006, Ed.
You know, again, this is the 17 Kabbalists. They do this. They pump and dump, pump and dump, pump and dump, pump and dump. This started ever since they took over the money supply in 1913 with the Roaring Twenties. And they hyperinflated the currency with the doggone World War One. Then they started really pushing the currency into the banks with their fractional reserve lending through the 20s and also printing more and more and more currency. Then in 1929, they contracted the M1 into the total currency in circulation, causing all the people that had bought all of this stuff to default, which allowed them to seize it all, and that's when many, many thousands of family farms were basically taken into foreclosure. My father had that happen with his father. My dad had come over from Germany in about 1870, 1880 as a young man. My dad was born in the United States here in Iowa in 1901, and my grandfather, Lewis, which that's Austin's middle name, he was named after Lewis, he went to visit some German relatives that we had in Chicago back in the late 1800s, stayed with them for a few weeks, had enough of that, jumped on a train and went through Iowa, saw the farmland there in Eldora in Hardin County with some of the finest in the world, pulled a whistle stop, which they still let you do back then, and this train stopped in the middle of a cornfield, and he got out and pretty much went to work for the people's farm that he stopped the train on. And several years later, they wanted to retire, so they helped him to buy their property. And before it was over with, he was basically farming 1,500 acres with horses. And, you know, and then when the steam engines came out in the early 1900s, they were using steam-propelled tractors. And what was interesting about all of this, you know, things went well, but Granddad continued to expand and do what he thought he could do until he got up to the 1,500 acres. And in 1929, the farmers pretty much started working for free, and he had to break up the property among his five children to like 300 acres apiece. And my dad was given a farm with a lofty mortgage on it at that point because the banks were going to take it all. This is what they do all of the time. I remember one time I was talking to my dad, and he said, "Ted, who owns all the stuff around us?" And I said, "Well, Dad, I guess the people who live there are doing it." He goes, "No, son, it's the banks. The banks own it all." He goes, "That's what they did to us in Iowa." He said, plus so many of the local banks that weren't connected to the Federal Reserve, they simply went belly up and belly out and gone, and the people's savings were lost during the Great Depression. So my dad used to teach me all of this stuff. So guys, listen to me again. This is not the time to buy a house. This is not it. This is not the time to be buying property unless you can steal the land. I mean, if you're paying $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 an acre for some really good property with rolling hills and water on it or something like that in North Carolina, okay. But this is the same type of problem that we had happen years ago. Some of that same land was selling for $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 an acre, and these people lost the money. The problem I have with all of this, Austin, with this pump and dump stuff that these bankers do, and this is what they did back in 2007, 2008, we had the giant bailout. We had to give these guys trillions and trillions of dollars back to bail them out so they wouldn't go belly up because they were too big to fail. Well, quite frankly, they are never too big to fail if they want to put out those kind of liar loans like they were doing. And we, the people of the United States, massively increased the debt to our children's children's children because we bailed the bankers out. And now here they go again, massively hyperinflating the properties again, And these people aren't paying $800,000 or $900,000, Austin, in cash for these houses. They're financing them.
No.
The bank, and the bank's agreeing for that. And so what ends up happening is we're having the same situation they do about every 8 to 10 to 12 years, pumping it up, pumping it up, pumping it up. That's what they did to us back in the late 90s with Clinton. Then they dumped us in 2008. Now we're 10 years later. They're going to be dumping us again. It's over and over and over. They've done this until they've pretty much taken the currency from what it was worth in 1913 down to 3% of what it was worth. The currency's lost 97% of its value, but they've been able to seize and take over almost every Fortune 500 corporation and huge tracts of lands all over the United States. So they trade their fiat currency, which is basically nothing. It's basically paper. They say it's got value to it, and they trade it for real tangible assets. So guys, don't get sucked into this deal. I mean, because what's going to happen is the same thing that happened last time. As soon as the bottom falls out of this mess, everybody's going to lose their bottoms again, and the banks are going to be doing the same thing, coming to us with their hand out saying, oh, we made a mistake again. Can you guys help us? And quite frankly, I don't think Trump has the guts to stand up to the banks. I think it'll be another one of these giant bailouts again, because he's already shown us that he's in the short pocket of the Goldman Sachs boys, along with his boy Jared Kushner, who's indebted to Soros. And always remember, Soros is a proxy, a cutout, a puppet of the Rothschild banking cartel. So one other thing I want to share with you guys real quick about that, and I'll let you comment on that too, Austin, is that I've been looking at Korea, and I've been looking at North Korea, and why in the world this Rothschild Sabbatean Kabbalist banking cartel has the absolute, have their sights on Korea. And I did not realize this. Korea right now has over 2,000 metric tons of gold reserves in their mining. This is crazy. I mean, this is a lot of money. This is almost $100 billion. Not to mention the rare metal earth, because what's happening is some of the South Korean firms have actually gone into North Korea to do a cooperative effort with the North Korean government. But they've got coal, iron ore, limestone, magnesite deposits, and other mineral commodities. I mean, it's a natural. It says right out of Wikipedia, it says mining in North Korea is important to the country's economy. North Korea is naturally abundant in metals such as magnesite, zinc, tungsten, iron, and gold. So guys, there's a lot of different types of minerals. Over 200 types are distributed over 80% of its territory, with 10 reserves that include all these other things, including a whole bunch of gold. So, you know, these guys, they go into these countries for a reason. You know, they went into Iraq because they wanted to put a Federal Reserve Bank in there, and they basically wanted the oil. Now they're going to want to put a Federal Reserve Bank in Korea, North Korea. If they go into that, if they assassinate the president, and they're going to start stripping that country of its natural wealth too, which is what they always do. It's basically the economic hitmen, and there's some people that have written really good books about that, and that's exactly what they're doing. So, Austin, what do you think about both these stories?
Well, yeah, North Korea, I had no idea that they were had as far as that much earth and that much gold that they were mining out. That right there is a giant red flag for me, because you remember Kuwait, you remember Iraq. All these places always had large amounts of gold when we invaded them. And, of course, all that gold disappears and suddenly vaporizes into thin air once we invade these countries, never to be seen again. And also, too, as far as with the banks, that you're spot on. That's exactly what's going on. And with what we're seeing right now, I don't think Trump is going to fight any of that if they have to do it again. I pulled up some information earlier. If you guys remember last week, President Trump signed an executive order entitled the Presidential Executive Order on Promoting Agricultural and Rural Prosperity in America. Now, the title sounded incredibly positive and actually harmless. When I heard about it, you know, everybody's kind of like, well, that sounds good. That's a great executive order. Trump signed 30 executive orders in his first 100 days of office. That's the second most amount of executive orders in the first 100 days of office of any president in history. So we don't really know what a lot of this stuff is on the back end. But from what I've seen and a little bit of research, we already knew Hillary Clinton was a total Monsanto stooge. We already knew that. Donald Trump never really sent any clear signals about his position on GMO and pesticides. We knew he clearly supported organic food. We knew that. That's evidenced by all the organic offerings that he has in his resort properties, especially down in Mar-a-Lago. They have full organic bars as far as the food and stuff like that. So we knew he was really big on a lot of this, but he never really talked about it. That was one thing that aggravated me a lot about the entire presidential debate, is that is a huge aspect of what we're going on in America as far as health, and nobody wanted to talk about it. Well, when I saw the promoting agriculture and rural prosperity in America, the first thing I thought of was, I guarantee you that has something to do with GMOs. Now, if you look at the text on it, there's not anything that actually says the word GMOs in it. However, some of the language found inside of it appears to mirror the exact same terms that Monsanto and the other boys like to use, like DuPont, Dow, Syngenta. The first one it says in here specifically, it has a special task force that they shall find opportunities to. The exact text says, advance the adoption of innovations and technology for agricultural production and long-term sustainable development. Well, first off, as soon as I heard long-term sustainable development, what's the first thing you guys think of when that? That's Agenda 21, the UN, Agenda 2030. That's what they always talk about, long-term sustainable development. Well, then the next one was technology. Technology is always a code word for biotechnology, which is a euphemism for genetic engineering. The earth, the food we grow, all this stuff already has developed natural technology on its own. The only time the word technology is ever used when it comes to food is when it comes to biotech and Monsanto and GMO producing. Also, too, when you start hearing the word science, it really comes down to toxic poisons and patented seeds, i.e. the glyphosate, also the patented GMO seeds that they can sue you over. Sections of it appear to have been written, honestly, by Monsanto public relations team. And one section, the word pesticide, has been blatantly replaced with the phrase crop protection tool.
That's
right. Can't even make this up. This is in the executive order that Donald Trump signed last week. So I'm not picking on him for anything. I want to bring the facts of what's going on right now. Who he is, what he's involved in, that's besides the point. I'm bringing you the exact facts of an executive order that he just signed into law last week. The name of it, again, is the Presidential Executive Order on Promoting Agricultural and Rural Prosperity in America. Now, back to what I was talking about with the pesticides term, it states right here on Section 6, requires executive departments and agencies to rely on the best available science when reviewing or approving crop protection tools. That is always a term for pesticides, always a term. Even the phrase best available science is highly suspect when you think of Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, Syngenta, all of them being involved. All these guys use terms like that, and now we see this in this executive order that Trump wrote. So I don't know if that's going to morph into something. I hope it doesn't. However, these terms are not good, in my opinion. We should not be seeing these in executive order. Like I said before, whenever you see long-term sustainable development, that is literally textbook UN. I mean, right out of the UN 21, UN 2030 agenda book. So this is something that's very odd. I'm going to keep a lookout on it, but I really hope that this has not just opened up a giant floodgate of glyphosate and Monsanto openings on every single food production in the country when we start seeing an executive order like this, Deb.
I already told you guys I was off the Trump train. I'm still standing at the depot. You know, the train hadn't left yet. And I'm still trying to decide if I want to get back on the train again. And the more he does, the less I want to get back on this train. And quite frankly, it's about to pull away from the depot and leave me behind. And I'm about good riddance with all of it. I've told everybody who listens to the show that when, you know, we did everything we could to keep the Wicked Witch of Benghazi out of the White House, the Sabbatean witch with her own doggone brouhaha wicked chapter or Sabbatean witchcraft chapter out in L.A. or whatever she was. You know, the whole thing is this. I still think he's better than Hillary because he has some things like with guns, etc. But at this point, I'm not seeing anything that tells me there was a hill of beans difference between the two of them as far as the executive orders that he's putting through right now, Austin, and also what he's doing as far as not cleaning out the swamp, putting in Goldman Sachs, putting his billionaire buddies. He's turning into the billionaire boys club up there in Washington with his cabinet and the people he's putting into power in positions of authority. And it's just a joke. The whole thing's turning into a joke. And I personally think something's happened. I think they've had that talk with him like they always have with everybody. I think he was probably compromised before they ever let him run for office. They knew they could control him because of what he's done. See, this is the same thing. And I've talked about this before, and I'll mention it again. You know, I know multiple TV evangelists who own networks, and several of these guys are involved with all kinds of weird stuff, including, you know, homosexuality and drug running and drugs and all kinds of other stuff. And I remember when Robert Steele was on, he said that the bulk of Christian programming has already been compromised or basically co-opted by the CIA. I believe that because I know that, you know, there's certain things that you can't say on Christian TV. There's certain places that won't put you on a Christian TV. And I know several of the guys that are really big right now, they were accused back in the 80s of being homosexuals, and they were exposed by Jerry Falwell. And I also know that one of these guys does a whole bunch of stuff as far as having homosexuals that are covert on his show. So, I mean, so the whole thing is just some crazy stuff that these guys are involved in. And so, no, Austin, I don't believe that you're off at all on this. I think that Trump basically has been compromised, and Monsanto, and of course the Rothschilds own Monsanto. They're the ones that put the merger together between, I mean, they're open about it. The Rothschilds put the merger together between Monsanto and Bayer. I mean, this whole thing's a giant fiasco with Trump. But again, it's like I said last week, we can't look to Trump for anything other than what he's doing. We have to look to Jesus, our Lord and Perfecter, to Yeshua, to Yahweh, to try to correct all of this stuff. And we have to understand something. The book of Revelation is going to happen. You know, we may get a reprieve and have to be able to slow it down some. But guys, you know, there's maypole celebrations and dancing around the maypoles all over Europe right now. I remember last year I was in Austria at this time of the year. And in fact, I was in Salzburg. You know, because we were over there on vacation for a week or so. You guys remember I did some shows from over there. And we were driving back to one of the local villages, and they had a giant maypole celebration, this huge fair, this huge carnival. And sure, right in the middle of it was this giant phallic symbol, this giant telephone pole that was set up that was probably 30 meters long. It was monstrous. And I could not believe the size of this thing. And so this, again, all about fertility, all about Lucifer, all about all of these guys. And so when you have the Sabbatean Kabbalists running the planet, this is what they're going to promote. This is the agenda they're going to do, because they want to turn everything upside down as quickly as they possibly can. That includes as many GMOs and as many glyphosates as possible. And by the way, Pope Francis is now warning against the invasion of libertarians. I'm a libertarian, by the way. Ron Paul's a libertarian. And this is the same guy who sent literally thousands of his parishioners to death in Argentina. This is the same guy that wants this new world order. And he says Pope Francis had harsh words to describe libertarians Friday, saying they deny the value of the common good, which is like communism, in favor of radical selfishness where only the individual matters. That is not true at all. That is not my definition of libertarianism. And he goes on to say, I cannot fail to speak of the grave risks associated with the invasion of the positions of libertarian individualism and high strata of culture in the school and university of education. The Pope said in a message sent to members of the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, meeting in the Vatican and subsequently shared with Breitbart News. Isn't this the same Pope that resides over up to 50% of his priests are gay? Isn't this the same Pope that resides over huge hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of payouts of guys, little boys that have been raped by these priests who are being sent from parish to parish? Isn't this the same Pope that kind of runs the Vatican money thing with the Vatican Bank, bringing in illegal drugs with the CIA and washing the cash? Oh, that's right. This is that organization, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying that all Catholics are bad, because I certainly don't believe that. Some of the best people I know are born again, true spirit-filled Catholics who love Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. You got to ask yourself a question. How much money do you want to give to this organization that's doing all of this stuff? This is crazy. Remember, you know, the auto industry, it's hundreds of billions of dollars a year or whatever in the United States. The drugs are a $1 trillion-a-year industry. Do you realize how many people are employed in the use of drugs in the United States? How many banks stay afloat on Wall Street because of laundering money for banks? We've seen this repeatedly. I mean, you've got $1 trillion a year pouring into the United States from illegal opium out of heroin out of Afghanistan. This is a major, major section of the economy now that if it were to suddenly close down, you'd have all kinds of dealers and distributors and truck drivers and who knows what else out of business, because they would no longer have these goods to ship. I mean, this is a major, major mess that we've gotten ourselves into, Austin. And the only thing, like I said earlier, that's going to clear it up is returning back to God, to Yahweh. And if we don't do that, it's not going to get any better. It's going to continue to get worse, as it was in the days of Noah, is what our Savior told us, what Yeshua said. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with his return. So guys, hang on. It's going to be a wild ride with Trump for the next 7-8 years. What's your next story, Oz?
No, you're definitely right. Well, this is an odd thing going on that a North Carolina congresswoman is trying to push through. However, it doesn't look like she was necessarily the brainchild of it, but it's stemming from the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. This is basically a new legislation that very well might eventually produce a provision for employers to force their employees to be vaccinated under the guise of wellness or essentially lose their job. All these bills, and I talk about this all the time because I've watched it personally happen all the time in Florida, nationwide. They write these bills and they use this overtly vague language, this language that literally could be interpreted and added on with 10 or 15 different sentences or add-ons to the end of it, and they do this on purpose. That way they can say, oh, we pushed through this bill, we did this, we did that, but as soon as they want to change it, as soon as they want to add an addendum to it, as soon as they want to manipulate it in their favor, whoever is giving them the money, Monsanto, the military-industrial complex, you name it, they can twist it, distort it, and make it go in their favor. This right here is House Resolution 1313, okay? That already right off the bat is quite odd to me that that happens to be this one, and it bases itself on vaccinations. It's known as Preserving Employee Wellness Programs Act, and it contains certain provisions for disease prevention that should employees refuse them, they might end up costing them their jobs. This is based on the legislation's very open-ended language, implying that employees could one day be refused the option of rejecting whatever their employees decide to appropriate for wellness and disease prevention, including government-recommended vaccinations. While an employee could petition his or her employer for a reasonable alternative standard, according to the bill, the Public Health Service Act is what actually defines the terminology, and in this legal definition, it leaves blatantly wide open the possibility for employers to force their employees to abide by vaccination requirements set forth by the government, or they will no longer be employed. That's from the Public Health Service Act. Now, the employer health promotion and prevention programs already provide incentives and rewards for employee compliance. I've talked about this numerous times. Now, they'll give gift cards, or they'll give different specials, or they'll give breaks on premiums. They already tried to do that with Lana back when we first got her health insurance when she was pregnant. They gave us this option. This whole pamphlet came in, and you know, her insurance was like, just for herself at the time, it was like $290 a month, and you know, for a decent plan. So then they sent us this whole package, and they're like, well, if you get a checkup and you show us that you're being basically a good little submissive servant and you're following all the rules we give you, was basically what it implied. I'm paraphrasing, though. We're going to drop your insurance to like $205 a month. And I looked at it, and I was like, well, golly, that's, you know, almost $90 a month. It, you know, basically just drop. I mean, almost $1,100 a year, essentially, on insurance. Well, then I started doing more research on it, and then it said, okay, well, we have to make sure, you know, you're exercising a couple times a week. I'm like, check, that's easy. Then it talked about as far as, like, you're promoting a good, healthy lifestyle, including getting your recommended vaccination.
There you go.
And I went, ah, there's the fine print. I knew exactly where this was headed. I said, money's never free, and the pharmaceutical, nor the insurance, nor the vaccine companies ever give away free money if they have anything to do about it. And that's when I started realizing it here. So this is what also talks about in the health promotion and provision program, surcharges and penalties for noncompliance. What are these penalties? Higher insurance premiums, as I just explained. According to the text H.R. 1313, I can't believe they use that name, employees who abide by their employees' wellness guidelines may include compulsory vaccinations can be awarded up to 50% off their insurance premiums. Employees who do not abide by these wellness guidelines, on the other hand, could end up paying 50% more than their vaccinated coworkers. Exactly what I just talked about with Lana's insurance. So this is something that we've talked about for years, and we're starting to see more of it come into fruition now, where state legislation, government legislation, it's all going to be about forcing you into vaccine submission. If they can force you to get it or you don't keep your job, or they force you to get it and your insurance goes from $400 a month to $200 a month, or they force you to get it and they don't cover you with insurance at all and they start fining you every single year. These are all ways that the government is going to figure out ways to implement the vaccine program pretty much pushed by the globalist agenda, Deb.
I don't know how I could have said that any better than you just did. That was absolutely articulate. But that's right. They're going to do that. I just, same thing. I mean, I just don't, I told you guys, I'm not suggesting that you do this, but I'm telling you what I did. It's been years and years ago when they finally jacked my insurance up to $2,000 a month with a $10,000 deductible, and I hadn't used it at all, ever, not once. I said, this is stupid, because I have, you know, I have three kids still at home, and I said, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to do this. I said, it's cheaper to pay it out of pocket. And sure enough, you know, a month ago when I basically, you know, stepped backwards and, you know, and broke my left foot up on the roof, I didn't fall off the roof, by the way. I stepped into a valley on the roof about 3 feet down. And because I slipped on my right foot, and my left foot came down sideways, and it caught the fifth metatarsal and cracked my metatarsal bone, which, by the way, is almost totally healed, by the way, in 3 weeks. It was three and a half weeks now. And when I went to get the x-ray, it was $175 for the doctor and the x-ray and to put a splint on it, and it was fine. That's money I put in it. Here comes the irony. I had a $10,000 deductible. I'd have still been paying $2,000, probably now, probably $2,500 a month, and I'd have still had to pay the $175 on top of everything else. So, you guys do what you want to do with all of this stuff. I mean, to me, it's just, it's gotten to the point where it's become obscene how expensive healthcare, which of course this is what the goal was. The goal was to basically bankrupt the country doing this and take, see what they're trying to do is they're trying to distract, before they try to kill us all with some kind of pandemic, plague, or whatever they drop on us, they want to extract as much wealth out of us as they can. These guys are a bunch of sickos. The guy who wrote the Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin, on his website today, he's got a really good article, and it's called The Birth of Cultural Marxism, How the Frankfurt School Changed America. And this is actually from Zero Hedge, and he reposted it. And he says, if you don't know what the Frankfurt School is, you better find out. It was founded in Germany by the communists, basically, but moved to Columbia University in U.S. in 1934 when the massive purge of Germany started, when they were telling their Jewish people to leave, because most of the guys who did all this were Jewish. The purpose was to undermine any aspect of Western culture that encourages personal independence, so that eventually all citizens must be dependent on an obedience to the state, which is exactly what Austin was just talking about with these immunizations. Communism was the goal, but not by that name. Generally, the strategy is known as cultural Marxism. The Frankfurt School created a coalition of minorities, including blacks, women, and homosexuals, who have been imbued with the ideology of victimhood, which is the belief that all the undesirable aspects of life are caused by exploiters who are the product of capitalism. They also say that the only way to end exploitation is to replace the capital system with a communist system or some other variant of collectivism. When we survey the political and cultural landscape of today and compare it with what it was in the 50s, there's no doubt this Frankfurt School has totally achieved its goal. If America is to survive in freedom, we have no choice but to reverse this process. That's what the Freedom Force International is all about, in which he's promoting that on his website. And I want to share something with you on this. This is why Hitler was so against communism. And I'm not recommending you go out and buy his book, Mein Kampf. For heaven's sake, he's got a bunch of crazy stuff in that book. But what he does talk about in that book is that the communists, basically, and their ideology and how it's completely anti everything that people stand for as far as individualism. That's why he wanted the communists gone. That's why he apparently staged, and I believe he did, the false flag of the burning of the Reichstag, so he could bring in his executive order of the Patriot Act, which is known as their enabling act, which allowed him to seize control of the government and become a dictator or the Führer. All of this stuff happened because all of this stuff was going on with what happened with the Sabbatean Kabbalists in the early 20s, seizing all of the assets of the Germans, hyperinflating the economy, $40 billion, 40 billion marks for one loaf of bread, until everybody was completely and totally busted, and they had to issue new money, and then they had to turn around, and all of the blue chip stocks had been bought up by these bankers, this international banking cabal, these Sabbatean Rothschilds, and that's why he wanted to get rid of communism in Europe. That's why he said, heck with England, I'm going to stop bombing England, and he turned east and started and attacked Russia, and he spread his forces out against too big of a front, and did it too late in the year because of the Russian winter, and he stopped listening to his generals. But quite frankly, think about this, and if you read the book, Pawns in the Game, he says, William Guy Carr says that the Russians and communism won World War II. And you say, well, how did that happen? We won World War II. No, 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 no. We carved up Europe and gave all of these independent countries like Czechoslovakia, East Germany, that was didn't even exist until after the war, you know, Hungary, Poland. We gave all of these countries to the USSR, to Russia, to expand their communist reach for no reason whatsoever with Potsdam Accord. We didn't have to do that with Stalin. It wasn't necessary. In fact, it was the one general who was, oh gosh, Patton. He said, let's rearm the German troops. Let's drive these Russians back into Russia and let's not do this and carve up Europe like this. And of course, right after that, he ended up dying in a hospital because he was trying to tell the people the truth. This is all about what the Sabbateans want. It's all about destroying the planet and bringing in this horrible, horrible mess that they call progress or collectivism or whatever you want to call it, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what a lot of this has come down to. That's exactly what I talked about with the UN earlier. I mean, that's been their stated goal for quite some time now, is they, A, want to disarm everybody, B, they want to move everybody in into these tiny little condos, these 200-300 square foot condos, so they can control everything. And as I was just saying earlier with that executive order, the sustainable development, whenever you start hearing stuff like that, it just goes right into the globalist mantra of keeping its servants under control, is what they consider us to be. Also, too, this is pretty wild. Assad did a interview. He basically went on Telesur TV, which is a network in Damascus, and he blatantly called out President Trump. Now, again, I don't know if Assad is accurate about this. It seems to be pretty accurate about it. I know he's been pretty mad about getting bombed. But again, he blatantly came out and said Trump isn't pursuing his own policies anymore, but he's rather executing the decisions made by the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, the big arm manufacturers, oil companies, and financial institutions. He went on to say, as we have seen in the past few weeks, he has changed his rhetoric completely, which he has, and subjected himself to the terms of the deep American state or deep American regime. He added, he referred to the fact that President Trump came to power on the political platform promising a departure from the interventionist policy of the previous U.S. President Barack Obama. He added that this is not new and has been ongoing American policy for decades. This is what characterizes American politicians, he said. They lie on a daily basis. That's why we shouldn't believe what the Pentagon or any other American institution says, because they say things which only serve their policies, not things which reflect reality and the facts on the ground. He went on to say the United States always seeks to control all the states of the world without exception. It does not accept allies, regardless of whether they're developed states as those in the Western Bloc or other states of the world. Look what is happening in Syria, to Korea, to Iran, to Russia, and maybe Venezuela now. Aims at imposing American control on the world because they believe that this control is under threat now, which consequently threatens the interests of the American economic and political elites. I couldn't really argue with anything he said there. Again, I don't really tend to agree with everything Assad says in Syria, but I have to say he pretty much called out Trump for what I think all of us have been thinking. So that's food for thought, Dad. I'm just going to leave that there. You guys make up your own minds on that.
Well, Trump said they're going to arrest him, you know. And so now basically the guy who he was praising is telling the truth about the corporate media and basically the Democratic Party and the problems with the Republican Party and telling people the truth of what was going on. And now he's calling for his arrest, which means if the United States decide to go in there and arrest him in that Ecuadorian embassy over there, it's probably going to happen. I mean, they're going to just do whatever they need to do to break, you know, what's Ecuador going to do to us if we break and violate their space? I mean, what are they going to do? What's Ecuador going to do? And see, that's how they look at it. They'll probably work out some deal with the Ecuadorian embassy and there in Ecuador center of things and give them a bunch of our money to do all of this. I mean, it's going to be a big, big mess.
I just wanted to clarify, if I misspoke on that, this is President Assad, the president of Syria, not Assange as far as in WikiLeaks.
Oh, I thought you said, I'm sorry, I misheard you, Austin. I'm sorry.
No, this is actually the president of Syria, Assad, al-Assad, the president of Syria, went on national television in Damascus and said this last week.
Okay, by the way, our shows aren't scripted.
No, they aren't.
But I was reading another article when you were doing that. I apologize for that. Real quick, when I got an email, I listened to the Hodges show last night with Hagman on it, and Doug was pretty upset because he was being attacked by a bunch of Christians. And I wrote him a little text this morning. I'm going to read it to you guys. I said, the evil one uses Christians as instruments of division in many cases. You know, look what's happened in many times, you know, who people attack us who claim to be Christians. All of us need to stay focused on who is doing this. We have given our authority to our elected officials to represent us. They have given it over to the military-industrial complex, which is exactly what Assad just said. And they've given it over to the CIA, which includes the Mossad. These intelligence communities have given it over to the Rothschilds, who have given it over to their sorcerers, who practice their sick, perverted rituals. And these sorcerers have given it to Lucifer, the fallen one. On top of that, they're trying to connect us to the interdimensional interface D-Wave computer directly to Lucifer using transhumanism and smart dust. If this, the rest of it wasn't bad enough. So the overall agenda of these demons has to be kept in perspective. Otherwise, we get caught up in the obfuscation of global news. Everything is being done by the satanic banking cabal, the 17 Kabbalists, to bring in their new world hellhole. They did it once before in Genesis chapter 6 through their fallen angel druidic sacrifice rituals and pyramids. They want that reality back, where every thought of every man is evil all the time. It feeds these interdimensional entities more negative energy, which is what they crave. Remember, Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking whom may devour. But because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb, he may not devour us. Like in the Old Testament, he has to pass over us because we have authority over him. Praise be to Yahweh. Come quickly, Lord Yeshua. And guys, it's so important that we understand this, that we have to keep perspective on what's happening here. Here's what happens. Let's say they nuke us or they hit us with a biological threat and we check out as Christians. Hey, we win. We get to go to heaven. We win. No matter what they do, it doesn't make any difference. We win. Because quite frankly, our earthly bodies get older and older and we die anyhow. So if we die earlier or later or whatever, it's part of it. It's just part of the life cycle. So I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, everybody wants to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die. I got that. But the reality is this. We can't allow them to put us into fear. Yesterday I was listening to a pastor online speaking, and he started talking about how we needed to be afraid of this and afraid of that. And I went, whoa, turn that off. I said, no way. We're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perfect love casts out fear. And we've always got to remember that, Austin. What's your next story, bud?
No, you're absolutely right about that. Well, one thing that's kind of strange now is, well, it's not strange, you kind of expect this from CNN, is they're now offering advice now on the morning consult, in the early show, recent survey, which was published by them, on how to approach your kids about being transgender. And I don't want to go into a lot of this because it's a pretty disgusting topic to me. Granted, I understand we do have some kids that are hormonally maybe twisted at birth, and we do have some cases of that. But a lot of this now is completely media-driven, is completely, you know, internet-driven. This is all going on. They said that they noted half of all Americans say the national political media is out of touch with everyday Americans. They also went on to hear to say that they want to give out what happens when you bring a group of sixth graders together to meet for the first time someone who is transgender. So they go into all this stuff about sexual identity and how you refer to them and all this political crap, total political correct nonsense about how you need to handle it and how you need to address it, how you need to make them feel and how you need to accept it. This is what's causing this disgusting epidemic to grow in this country, is the media is intentionally inciting it with an aggressive amount of force. They are intentionally fueling the fire of this stuff. I've talked about it so many times, so Dad, so has I. This is a weird topic. It's a very strange topic. But the more we sit back and we try to normalize it and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay if your six-year-old says he wants to be a girl now. You just need to accept it and let him wear girl clothes and let him do stuff like that. That is completely and totally, first off, unbiblical. Secondly, you are not even doing your child justice whatsoever at being a decent parent. Children need to have a positive role model in their house. They're going to hear and see stuff on the media, on TV, on the internet that they don't need to see. Just the way of life right now with the technology that we have in front of us at this current period in time. So you have to be there as the strong point, as the lighthouse, as the rock in the house to be able to show them this is the direction you need to go, this is the biblical route you need to go, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, you're not a girl, you're a boy, you're 6 years old. You need to get past this, and you need to grow past it. Now, I'm not saying you need to put them down or you need to be belligerent about it. You obviously need to deal with it in love and make sure you show them, though, from a biological standpoint and from a Christian standpoint, that this is not going to work in this family and go from there. But this whole, oh, well, we're going to accept them for who they are. And if our 6, 7, 8-year-old son wants to start dressing in girls' clothes, it's okay. We'll let him do that. If she wants or he wants to start having us call him Sally and he wants to everybody else to call him that, we're going to accept that. This is totally nauseating to me, and it honestly, in my opinion, it should be considered child abuse, especially what some of these parents are allowing their kids to engage in and allowing them to accept that.
Some of these kids are actually having their genitals removed at a very, very young age, under the age of 10, because of parents' permission.
Hormone replacement therapy, too.
And so here's what you do. Here's what you tell your kid. Kid comes up to you, say, hey, I'm a little confused. Hey, don't be confused. You got my Y chromosome. My Y chromosome doesn't do queer. Doesn't happen. Not this house, not ever, never going to happen. Never going to be that with you. Never, ever happen with you. You're going to be an alpha male. I'm going to teach you how to do that. That's how you respond to that crap. You don't, oh, my little baby. No. You stand up as an alpha male and go, not going to happen. That doesn't happen here. You're my Y chromosome. You got a penis, newsflash. You're not a girl. Not going to happen here. So that's the way you got to deal with this. You can't be sitting here letting this new world order dictate to your child what sex they are. Again, this is all part of the population reduction program to bring us back to Genesis chapter 6 to turn us into good little slaves. By the way, here's some of these Sabbateans and what they've done. This is a really good article, and it's from the it's from Covert Geopolitics. And I don't know much about this website. Probably shouldn't have promoted it. But here's what it talks about. It breaks down who these guys are and all of the cartels they own. The money cartel, also known as the Federal Reserve System. The energy cartel, also known as the petro cartel, which has provided the linchpin of the petrodollar. The knowledge cartel, also known as the U.S. educational system, including private and public schools, teaching them transhumanism, by the way. The military and intel cartel, where we go, which basically have made us serve as the world's policemen. And also the judiciary, corrections, and police cartel. There we go. The big medicine cartel. I know that one's true. The big pharma cartel, I know that's right. The agricultural cartel, baby otters Monsanto. The major media, mass media cartel, there you go. That's another cartel. The entertainment cartel, oh man, entertainment cartel. They absolutely loathe Jesus Christ. They loathe Yeshua. They loathe Yahweh. They were trying to resurrect their serpent god. These are the same guys that came from the Frankfurt School to destroy the United States. They got themselves into Hollywood, and that's what the McCarthyism was all about. He was trying to say, hey, wait a minute. We got a bunch of communists in Washington or in Hollywood trying to change us. The bread and circuses cartel, I love this one. This is the big sports cartel designed to keep the masses appeased so they don't have time to be concerned about how the establishment is ripping them off. The religious cartel, now we're dealing with the world religions, including the Vatican, including a bunch of other non-profit corporations with 501(c) status who've been compromised. The secret society cartel, which has also been undermined. Now we know we're talking about with all you'll come to me in a second. The government and politics cartel, the arms cartel, the narcotics cartel, all of these are listed. And then guys, think about this for a second. We have all of these different things being controlled by the Sabbatean Kabbalist money network. Because remember, without the money, there's none of this stuff. None of this stuff. The Masonic Lodges, that's the Hidden Society one. You know, Skull and Bones cartel. All of this stuff is being controlled by these guys, these evil guys. Slowly but surely, they've taken their tentacles, this giant vampire squid, and they've wrapped it around the whole planet. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. That's exactly what they've done. I mean, I don't it is. It's like a big, just tentacle vampire squid. It's a perfect analogy about it, wrapped all around it. Well, this is something that I highly doubt will get passed, but it's interesting to see that they're even trying to touch this. I'm sure these Republicans must be the only ones that don't have dirt on them. A large amount of Republicans are attempting to pass a spending bill for fiscal year 2017. As you know, the whole government shutting down things happening again is more obfuscation. But they're saying it would freeze funding for the Internal Revenue Service. Spending on the agency would be frozen at $11.2 billion, which is below the level of funding it received in 2008. They said Republicans have either cut funding or held funding level for the IRS over the last several years after the IRS targeted scandal erupted under President Obama. The IRS admitted it had been slow-walking applications from right-leaning groups that were seeking tax exemption status. While the bill will allow $2.1 billion for the agency to provide core duties such as taxpayer services, it bans funding the bonuses or the ability to retire former employees or rehire former employees. I think that that's a start, a mild start, but quite frankly, I think the IRS needs to be completely abolished in general. But it's good to see they're actually trying to do something. Will it go anywhere? I don't know.
Who knows, buddy? Who knows? By the way, shingles vaccine dangers are exposed in an FDA letter to Merck Pharmaceuticals, which I found interesting. It says in here, well, basically, I don't recommend shingles vaccine at all. You get way too high a risk of coming down with shingles on it. And the doctor who wrote this article and wrote this letter to the FDA said, given the obvious risk of serious injury from Zostavax vaccine, which is the shingle vaccine, any person over 50 should proceed with caution regarding the commercially promoted recommendation to get this vaccine. While shingles can sometimes be serious in rare cases, it's my view that efforts to maintain good health, there you go, and a strong immune system will serve us better than obtaining this vaccine, which has the undeniable risk of serious injury. There are almost 5,000 reports of adverse events after Zostavax. The vaccine contains substances that can provoke autoimmunity, including human DNA contamination. Now, that was not contaminated. I'm sure that was put in. Gelatin, neomycin, and other problematic substances, as well as many other vaccines. I am not convinced that the vaccine or its components have been properly tested. Guys, this is important information if you're older and you're trying to get your parents to take a shingles vaccine. I highly recommend that you stay away from all of these things because of what it does to the immune system and what it can cause autoimmune diseases. So guys, here's how I look at vaccines. I take my vitamin D3 every day. I stay really, really healthy. My immune system's frosty. I very rarely ever have anything happen to me that's not healthy. And so the craziest thing about this is I feel great. I had somebody call me up this morning. Actually, they texted me, a friend of mine who's about my age. He's 63. And he goes, I feel so awful. I don't know what to do. I have no idea. My energy's through the floor. And the guy has a problem with blood sugar. The problem is he eats too much junk. He eats way too much junk. So here's what I wrote him. I sent this text to him and I said, This is interesting, and he's a really good friend of mine, or I wouldn't have sent this to him. And he goes, I have no energy, I'm tired. He says, it took an effort to actually walk around. He said, I feel absolutely horrible. My response to him, I said, it's your blood sugar. You won't have consistent results without consistent dietary controls and supplementation. You eat too much sugar. You don't drink enough water, and you have to take the supplements that are suggested, including 2 cinnamon per meal. Otherwise, this is how you're going to feel. Then you'll develop full-blown diabetes. Then you will be on insulin. Then you will develop kidney disease and heart disease, and that'll be a horrible movie. But it's your choice. But after a certain point, it will no longer be your choice, and you'll have to go on to insulin just to stay alive. God said to the Israelites, today I set before you life or death, choose life. The exact verse is this. Today I'm giving you a choice of two ways, and I ask heaven and earth to be witnesses of your choice. You can choose life or you can choose death. The first choice will bring a blessing, the other choice will bring a curse. So choose life, then you and your children will live. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19. And I told my friend, I said, it doesn't get any clearer than this. And then he finally said, I will make the obvious choice. I'm tired of feeling so horrible. He said, I eat pretty clean, but I will change my diet even more. And I said, you've got to start drinking more water and taking the supplements. And guys, listen to me for a second. I don't know how to say this any more clearly than this. Diabetes is not a joke. Syndrome X is a lot of it with adult onset diabetics. You know, and that's why so many of them can come off the insulin or metformin or whatever they've got you on by changing your diet, changing your lifestyle, etc. But guys, listen to me. If your whole pancreas shuts down and you got to start taking insulin, insulin's a salt. It has a tendency to dry out the arteries, causing optic nerve degradation in the back. It also causes problems with the retina. It can cause problems. It's one of the leading causes of blindness. It messes up the arteries and the arterioles, so you can't get enough blood into your extremities, so you end up in a situation where you start having amputations everywhere. I mean, this is a horrible thing to have done. Insulin is not good. It's like pouring salt on a leech or a slug that we used to have crawl around here. You put some salt on one, it just dry them up. This is what happened. It over ionizes the blood vessels. It makes too much stuff cling to the inside of the arteries when you start injecting the stray salt like this. It's not a good thing to have to do. It's easier to drink half your body weight in fluid ounces every day, take a couple of cinnamon extract with every single meal, take some black seed oil every single day, take turmeric every single day. It's easy to correct this. Get off the sugar, get off the junk, get off the bread, get off the pasta, get off the glyphosate, eat clean. There's all kinds of natural things that you can do to help bring blood sugar down very, very quickly without having to feel absolutely horrible every day of your life like this poor gentleman is doing, who's a good friend of mine, and I certainly hope that he listens to his doctor and to me as far as his dietary changes, because if he doesn't, he's going to be on his way to diabetes. In fact, his brother died of diabetes just last year, a few years older than him. And so he's already got a genetically predisposed to have this happen. So guys, we need to pray for him. When you say a prayer for my buddy, I won't give you his name on the air. I have too much respect for him for that. But guys, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being here. I got to speak to some wonderful, wonderful people today at the office. Guys, I love you. I just think it's absolutely awesome that you guys listen to the show every day. I appreciate you. I thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I thank you for supporting us. I thank you for praying for us. I thank you for listening every day. We have a huge audience all over the world now, and just I want you to know I appreciate you. God bless you. I love you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Absolutely, man. Yes, guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the emails. Got a ton of emails in over the weekend, as always. So we appreciate all the support and all the kind words, especially for the show on Friday that we did, Thursday or Friday. We discussed some, topics that we didn't really want to have to bring up, but they kind of needed to be addressed. So that was one of those shows. So we appreciate you guys being there and supporting us on that and understanding what we had to bring up. Also, too, product of the week is the Ultimate Multiple Powder. That'll be good for another 2 days as product of the week. It's on sale for over 10% off right now. Really, really good formula. As you guys know, if you've used our Ultimate Multiple before, we have that in capsule form, which you can always try. That's on regular price right now. Ultimate Multiple Powder is in powder form, obviously no capsules. We've added stevia and some fruit extracts to it to make it taste really, really good. Very easy to throw in a shake or smoothie or just mix it in with water. Mixes up very, very easily and tastes great. So if you guys want, check that out on the website, healthmasters.com, product of the week. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.